Russia is asking the US not to step into the shoes of the UN and strike Syria on allegations it's used chemical weapons. The EU's foreign policy chief is calling for a political solution, and Italy says the repercussions and counter-repercussions of military action would be dramatic. Is the US under pressure from its regional allies to take action? Are there concerns that the Assad government is winning the war against foreign-backed insurgents? Is there still room for a political solution? This is The Debate.
UN observers are now in Syria to investigate claims that chemical weapons were recently used near Damascus. The Syrian government and the opposition continue to exchange the blame over the alleged attack. Western countries, including the US, Britain and France, have all pointed the finger at Damascus. Britain went as far as threatening a military action without a UN mandate, adding that the Syrian government's permission for the UN inspection is too late to be credible.
If the regime believed somebody else had carried out this attack, then they would have given access to the UN inspectors several days ago. It was last Wednesday night that we and other countries called for that at the United Nations Security Council. They've refused that up till now.
Back in March, the Syrian government asked the UN to investigate a chemical weapons attack in Khan al-Assad, a town in the province of Aleppo. But the UN failed to investigate the case amid US and UK foot dragons. Washington has already boosted its Navy's presence in the eastern Mediterranean, with the Pentagon waiting for order from President Barack Obama to intervene militarily. However, Moscow has warned the West against military intervention without the approval of the UN Security Council. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says the West is currently moving toward a, quote, very dangerous path, adding that any unilateral attack on Syrian soil would violate international law.
The use of force without the approval of the United Nations Security Council is a very grave violation of international law. Let me stress once again, even if we were to put aside the legal aspect, as well as the moral and ethical aspect of all this, specific consequences of foreign intervention without the sanction of the international community will only lead to a rapid deterioration of the situation in the country which they claim to be saving from dictatorship and where they want to institute democracy.
Lavrov also says Western countries have no proof that Damascus used chemical weapons. As fears grow over military intervention in Syria, many say the US and its regional allies are using the pretext of chemical weapons to repeat an Iraq-style scenario.
Those chemical attack allegations are used by Israel and its Arab stooge Saudi Arabia to set the whole Middle East region on fire. Is the US and other Western countries in a position to question chemical attacks? These are the same countries that supplied Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons, supported Saddam Hussein in the 80s when Saddam Hussein attacked Iran, attacked its own population.
The alleged chemical attack in Syria is the latest atrocity in a conflict that has claimed over 100,000 lives since 2011. As the situation continues to get more complicated, it seems another war is looming in the Middle East region under the same pretext the US and its allies used to invade Iraq in 2003.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is political advisor and journalist Mr. Jeffrey Alderman, and with us live from Washington, former advisor to the US Senate, Mr. James Jatras. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. My first question to our guest in Washington, Mr. Jatras. The US says it has proof that the Syrian government used chemical weapons. Russia is challenging that claim. How valid do you find the Russian argument that the US must not act without a UN mandate, should not play the role of both the inspectors and the UN Security Council?
Well, certainly from an international legal point of view, the Russian argument is correct that without a Security Council resolution authoring action, military action in Syria, there is no legal justification for that. I would also add that it would be a violation of American law, that President Obama has no authorization from Congress to launch military action in Syria. As far as the judgment that chemical weapons were used and that the government is responsible, I think one has to be very highly skeptical of such claims, that there are people within the administration that have been pushing for intervention in Syria for a very long time, and they have, let's say, had several dry runs for using chemical weapons as a pretext for military action, and maybe this time they feel they've got a critical mass of support from Prime Minister Cameron and President Hollande to finally do what they've been wanting to do for some time.
Well, let's go to a London guest on this as well, Mr. Alderman. Now, I guess they're in Washington saying there should be skepticism now, and a lot of people are asking why hasn't the US, for instance, presented the evidence that it claims it possesses? I mean, if it is proof that the government, the Syrian government, did use chemical weapons, couldn't it just offer this intelligence or whatever to the United Nations or to the world to see?
I think there's a great deal of hypocrisy all round here. I think, firstly, it's hypocritical of Mr. Cameron and his Foreign Secretary, Mr. Hague, to say they'll intervene now because chemical weapons have been used, but they won't intervene when thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Syrians have been killed by conventional weapons. You know, from the point of view of international law, an attack on civilians using conventional weapons is as heinous and despicable as a deliberate attack on civilians using chemical weapons. So it seems to me that this idea that chemical weapons have been used and used by Assad is simply an excuse to intervene.
Are you saying then, Mr. Alderman, that a military attack in itself would be the proper solution?
Oh, I don't think that personally a military intervention would be a solution at all. I think that there is a civil war in Syria, and I think the West, and particularly from my perspective, the United Kingdom, should keep out of it. It's none of Britain's business.
Okay, so before we get to the question of what is the solution for the crisis to end, Mr. Jatras, in hindsight, a lot of people have been asking why should the Syrian government at this sensitive juncture consider using even chemical weapons? I mean, Syria itself has said that we've not used it and we wouldn't use it logically. Do you think it would be illogical if we presume that the Syrian government has actually used chemical weapons?
I can think of circumstances where it might be logical for them to use them, but in general, I think that's a very fair question, that you ask the question, cui bono, who benefits from this? When Western governments have drawn the, quote, red line and said, if you do this, we will take military action, then you have all the incentive for the rebel side to stage such an incident. And look, if that's the case, and the Western governments are prepared to do that, you very well could have a circumstance like we saw in Bosnia and like what we saw in Kosovo, where you have an accusation of an atrocity and then the evidence being doctored and conclusions being jumped to justify what was the purpose of the staged atrocity in the first place. It's very, very questionable whether the government would have done this, in my opinion.
Mm. And there is a lot said, I'll put this question to Ms. Alderman, about the insurgents' use of chemical weapons as well. I mean, we have the Khan al-Assal attack earlier on in Damascus, and then we had a UN official saying that probably and most probably the insurgents, according to UN investigations, carried out that attack. But we didn't see that investigation get anywhere, you know, specifically, or the insurgents completely being blamed for it. So do you think that in regards to what the Takfiris, the extremists, or the insurgents are actually doing in Syria, the West and the US have been silent?
You know, I don't know who carried out the latest chemical attack. I have to agree that it would seem that the Assad regime had very little to gain other than to inflict a blow on the morale of the rebels, terrorists, insurgents, or whatever you like to call them. Killing hundreds of thousands of civilians is not in itself a military victory. And we have to remember that although the Assad regime has been successful against the insurgents in some parts of Syria, it's been defeated in other parts of Syria. From my perspective, it seems as if Assad is trying to carve out a sort of Alawite state out of the remnants of Assyria, which is clearly disintegrating. But I think the question, cui bono, who benefits, is a very legitimate one that we have to ask.
And that brings us to the next question that a lot of people have been asking now. Mr. Jatras, and that is the U.S. under pressure from some of its regional allies like Turkey, like Saudi Arabia, which has, today in reports we've been hearing, has actually asked the United Nations to act, to go under the deterrent. Do you think the U.S. is under pressure from these allies to actually take action? And the fact that we're seeing the U.S. getting closer to that action is because of this pressure?
You know, that's a very tough question to answer, who is pressuring whom in these relationships between Washington and Riyadh and Washington and Abu Dhabi and Washington and Ankara, between Washington and Paris and London. Sometimes you wonder who is really the loudest or most persuasive voice behind closed doors. I think there's substantial evidence to show that President Obama personally has not been particularly eager to be dragged into this thing, although we know there are some people within his administration, notably Samantha Power, currently the UN ambassador for the United States. Yes, we know the Saudis have been pushing hard for this, and also the Qataris, but the Saudis and the Qataris don't always see eye to eye either, for example, with respect to the Muslim Brotherhood and the military in Egypt. Mm. So the short answer is maybe you almost have a herd mentality here, where these people talk themselves into a course of action, but it's hard to know who exactly is pressuring whom. Mm.
And then there is the argument, Mr. Alderman, that because the Assad forces have been gaining some advancements against the insurgents, that there's some strong concern now among the enemies of Assad in the region that they don't want Assad to win this war eventually, and they think that this scenario is going to prevent that. Do you agree?
I think Turkey has some questions to answer in this respect. I don't think the Turkish government would be happy to see an outright Assad victory in Syria for a number of regional and ethnic considerations.
Yes, and then something, because we are really short of time, I'd just like to bring all aspects of the picture in here. Mr. Jatras, Israeli officials, we know, have time and again suggested that the solution for the Syrian crisis is the military solution. We even had a meeting between Moshe Yaalon of Israel and the US's Martin Dempsey. And in that meeting, we heard that Moshe Yaalon was saying the axis of evil in reference to Hezbollah, Damascus and Tehran should be confronted. So do you think that the US scenarios are actually meant to protect Israeli interests?
Israel,
I think clearly Israel is an important aspect of American.
Yes, excuse me. That question to Mr. Jatras, and I'll be back with you, Mr. Alderman.
I think Israel is certainly a factor in American thinking here, just as it is with respect to Egypt. Yes, there are people in Israel that take that point of view. I know there are also people in Israel that are very concerned about an al-Qaeda-linked Sunni radical victory in Syria as well. It seems there was an article in the Jerusalem Post recently that there is a group of, let's say, moderate terrorists, if we can call them that, being supported by American, Saudi, Turkish, and Israeli trainers that is supposed to be moving into the Damascus area. I think there clearly must be some element of Israeli involvement, but I don't know how decisive that is in the broader context.
Yes. Before I go to the next question, let's bring in one of the comments that's been posted on our Facebook page, specifically on this issue of Israel. We'll take a look now, and I'll be back.
It's nothing more than to make Israel the strongest in the Middle East, meaning more occupation and destructions in the region, especially to nations sharing a border with Israel.
That comment posted on our Facebook page, I'd go straight to Mr. Alderman on this. Do you think, Mr. Alderman, on that same question, that Israeli interests are actually important here, and this is meant to create that regional position, a strong regional position for Israel?
No, I don't. Israel's interest is actually to have a strong Assad regime. Although Assad, Syria under Assad has been an enemy of Israel, the border between Syria and Israel has been quiescent for almost 40 years. And I think the last thing the government in Jerusalem would want would be a terrorist or insurgent victory, because that would bring about on Israel's northern border the type of nightmare scenario that they fear in the on the border with Egypt.
So what about the comments by Moshe Yaalon that we mentioned earlier when he says this axis of evil has to be confronted, or Zippy Livni saying that Syria needs a military solution?
You know, talk is very cheap. At the end of the day, Washington wants something to come out of the so-called peace talks that are currently taking place between Israel and the Palestinian government on the West Bank. And my information is that the Israelis do not want to see the Assad regime fall.
Well, since you have brought that up, let's have Mr. Jadris's response to that as well. Would you agree with that?
I think originally the Israelis would have been just as pleased to take the line Mr. Alderman said. The trouble is that Mr. Assad now is in a difficult position. If he wins, he will be much more closely tied to Iran than he was before this war started, and he will be much more indebted to Hezbollah than he was before this war started. Before this war, he could turn on the support and turn it off to Hezbollah like a spigot. And being a secular regime, he could be somewhat standoffish in his relationship with Tehran. Mm. If he survives, yes, I think there's going to be much greater Israeli concern about that axis than there would have been before this war started. Mm. But I do agree with Mr. Alderman. If the rebels win and we have an al-Qaeda-led or a Muslim Brotherhood-led regime in Damascus, that will not make Israel's life easier either.
Okay, we just have time for another comment on our Facebook page regarding the position of the United States and what could be the Washington's interest in its possible scenarios. We'll take a look at that comment and I'll be back.
The U.S. wants to kick out Russia from the Middle East so that they will have full control on oil and dictate their terms and conditions to the world.
That comment on our Facebook page, Mr. Alderman, a reference there to the traditional U.S. and Russia rivalry. Do you think that U.S. interests are in favor, actually, of a military strike on Syria?
I think that Washington is very apprehensive of Russian involvement. You have to understand that there's been a diplomatic revolution in the Eastern Mediterranean. We now have Russian submarines from the Black Sea Fleet who are in effect protecting Israeli Cypriot oil and gas rigging off the coast of South Cyprus. So I can't see that it would be in Washington's interest to so rile the Russians that they would get even further involved in the Eastern Mediterranean. It wouldn't be very clever on Washington's part.
OK, we are quickly running out of time. The last comments to Mr. Jadris, if you can say in less than a minute, what do you think about the US position? Is it just too costly for the US to strike? Is this all about political hype?
I think, unfortunately, it's increasingly likely that there will be some sort of strike. I say this, by the way, and we keep talking about American interests in this region. If we were actually following our interests, we would not be involved in conflicts like this. Our interests are rather tenuous with regard to these conflicts. Unfortunately, there's an apparatus of, let's say, global domination here in Washington, well entrenched in both parties, that believe for ideological reasons the United States must dominate the globe, starting with the greater Middle East. I think it's very bad for the American people and for American national interests.
Thank you very much. Former advisor to the U.S. Senate, James Jadris, with us there live from Washington. A big thank you to our guest in London as well, Mr. Jeffrey Alderman, political advisor and journalist. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us on another edition of The Debate. From Michal Malesky, it's goodbye.